coming to you after Easter. This is the Next Step 772, April 13th, 2023.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries, welcoming you to a 15th season of the Next Step podcast with Father Vazgen. With these podcasts, Father Vazgen provides a very distinct and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord, Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte. So we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
OMG, what is happening? I don't think you're supposed to say out loud OMG, right? You're just supposed to write it down. It's like one of those text expressions, just OMG, you know, OMG. But I have to say it, OMG, what is happening? Like, this is like, is that the third time? Third time I've missed the next step. And it's not good. I'm not going to give you excuses. I will give you excuses. I'll tell you why, but not in this form of like, hey, feel bad, you know, but I'm feeling bad. I'm feeling bad because I've put so much into the next step. It's now in its 15th year and we do it. And, you know, it's been religious, no pun intended, religious. In every Thursday, like clockwork, we'd put it out. And here it is. We've missed another one. It's, I think, three this year, since the beginning of this year. And after 15 years. And it's not without another side to it. We've been producing daily shows. And so, yeah, I could say that, well, the next step, like the grand program, so to speak. I'm very proud of it. And proud in the sense that, you know, we started this off 15 years ago. We didn't know where it was going to go. We thought we'd do a few shows. Podcasting was not a big deal back then. It had just started. People were just talking about podcasting, but people didn't know about it. But we had a string of luck and things just kind of like snowballed. And it got to a point where it was very cathartic for me, especially under the pressure of being a priest in the Glendale market with all of the difficulties that we had. And later on, I realized that this became a means of documentation, documenting all the things that we did. And that's what I want to share with you for a few minutes today, because the second portion of today's show, I'm gonna have Bishop Daniel Findikian from Etchmiadzin. Those of you who joined us last Sunday, you'll have a documentation of it. In other words, we'll be able to preserve it here on the Next Step. Very early in the Next Step's history, because we were such an early podcast, it was that the United States government, it's called archive.org, and it's run by the government, they started archiving our shows. So there's a whole archive that exists online of The Next Step, and they're available. You know, if you do a search for The Next Step, you will usually be brought to In His Shoes or Apostle. But if you go down a little bit, you'll see that there are archive.org files available. And, you know, it's like, thank you. But The Next Step became cathartic for me. I was able to share my stories. It became a means of documenting what we're doing. And today, as we're looking back, yesterday was 20 years ago that we started the Armenian Church Youth Ministry. And so what I've been doing this past few days is I've ran a new series of podcasts called It Was 20 Years Ago Today. And these are the untold stories of the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, because in a sense, it started off with a miracle. And throughout the 15 years, we kept that experiment, so to speak, going. There were so many miracles that touched the people's lives. And I felt like, you know, we got out of the Youth Ministry Center and now there's new adventures, but what happens to all of those stories? Where are they? Yeah, they're here and there, but they need to be documented in search of Well, inspiration. Inspiration. A lot of times when you look at the Armenian church, you don't think of the Armenian church as living out miracles day by day. And one of the expressions that we did have it at the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center, and I got to be honest with you, throughout my entire ministry, is that the miracles were all around us. We weren't just open to them. We weren't waking up to them. And I'm not talking about just cute little things. I'm talking about severe, severe miracles where we were out there. I never forget when the curtain at the church got old and tattered and everything, and somebody decided to donate a new curtain for the church at the youth ministry center. And, you know, we took the old curtain and we invited the ladies who lived in the area to bring their sewing machines to the church. And we have this document, and it's pictures, but who knows about it? They started making blankets out of the old curtain. And we took those blankets out into the community, to the people on the streets, to the homeless on the street. So can you imagine, these homeless people were walking around the streets draped in a blanket, which had absorbed the prayers and the incense, the tears, the laughter of a community for the past 10, 15 years. And now they were wrapped up in these beautiful, sacred blankets. And it's things like that, little things like that, that maybe don't seem to matter at the time. But when you think about it on the grand scale, I mean, a people that was once homeless are now providing that opportunity for other homeless. That's a big one. That's a big one. So I feel bad when we miss one of these podcasts. To me, it's a very important ministry that we have, and I'm going to try very hard. Yeah, I told you I'd give you an excuse. Hey, I got a new hip. How about that? Last week, yes, on the 3rd of April, I went in for a much-needed surgery. I had some issues with my hip. As some of you know, I went through a horrific, with Susan, we went through a horrific accident several years ago, a head-on collision, which caused me to start limping in a way. And beyond that, I think it's just the age thing too. And we tried a lot of things. But bottom line was, I needed a new hip. And thank God that there is this technology and there is this opportunity. And so I got a new hip. Yeah. And I was very much looking forward to sharing with you on that week because, hey, let me be honest with you. I'm just sitting around. I got to let it heal. Yeah, there's some pain involved, but I wanted to sit in front of a microphone. Well, we got so consumed with doing all the other stuff that before I knew it, it was April 6th, which was the Thursday that we were going to do it. And I had everything planned, too. We were ready to go, and I just could not do it. There were just too many things floating around. And here we are a week later, and I'm feeling like there's probably a reason for it. Yeah, leave it to me to find the silver lining. Well, why not, right? We do that. Well, we got a chance to talk about the Giragi. Giragi, we started off at the beginning of Lent, not knowing where it was going to go. It's basically a 15-minute service that we thought we'd do online to bring together people at the, yeah, we could say Sunday evening at the beginning of the week. Sunday's the beginning of the week. So how would it be if we didn't think of Sunday as the culmination of the entire week, but the beginning, Noras del Ziel. So we start off the week and we started off with a prayer. And so we started with these 15-minute little services. Archbishop Hovnan led it off in the very, very beginning. I did a few of them. We had Father Sarkis Petoyan did one of them. And then here we were on Easter Sunday, and I was in touch with Bishop Daniel Findikian. So Archbishop Hovnan extended an invitation for him to be the guest homilist. That's a fancy word for giving a sermon. And he did not disappoint. It wasn't so much a sermon as much of a reflection of where he was. And I thought it was so beautiful, so touching, so moving, that I want to share it with you. And I'm going to do it during the second portion of today's show. especially where there was a part where he talked about the 10 maidens. And by the way, last week was Holy Week. Because of my surgery, it was the first time in my life, first time ever, that I missed an entire Holy Week. And I got to tell you, that was the hardest part of the surgery. The hardest part was not being in church. I'm not just saying that for people to say, oh, you know, there's a holy man. No, it's just like it's a matter of practice. It's a matter of routine. Holy Week, I belong in church. I remember many, many years ago, I'll tell you even the date. I think it was 1977, I want to say. There was a Jethro Tull concert on Easter Eve. And it was a fantastic one. It was, I think, right during the Songs from the Wood era. And it was at the Inglewood Forum. And our church, no, excuse me, it was in Long Beach. Yeah, and our church was in near LAX, St. James Armenian Church. And, you know, this was a conflict for me. This was my group. I needed to be there, but it was Easter Eve. So I went to Easter Eve services. We celebrated the Divine Liturgy, and then I got in my car and I drove out to the concert and got there in time, I think, for just missing a few of them. But I do remember very vividly walking into the concert and hearing Velvet Green being played out on this small little organ. Ah, it was so beautiful. One of those memories that last a lifetime. But what I'm saying is that I really made an effort to make sure that every year I could be at Holy Week. To me, it's like the reason we exist, right? The reason we exist is because of the crucifixion and resurrection, and how beautiful that we have an opportunity to celebrate that. And I look forward to it. And that was the hardest part of this surgery. Not the sitting around. Yeah, I got to tell you, there were some bad days, you know, as far as I think I was talking with my sister this morning. We're not back people. We don't sleep on our backs too well. Did I expose too much? No, I hope not. I don't know. I think that there are people who can do it. I just can't. I can't do the whole night on my back. And because of the surgery, that's what I had to do. And yeah, and so that took a little bit of getting used to. It gave me a little bit of sleeplessness and that. So those kind of things are par for the course. You know, these are the things that you're going to happen. You know, at the end of the day, you got a new hip. Hey, man, you know, like, be happy. You're not bone on bone anymore. It's not the bone just grinding into another bone. You got some neat things. You got a piece of titanium in you. You've got some ceramic in you. You've got some plastic in you. And the big question is, next time you get on a plane, are you going to beep? That's the big question that we got to ask. But for what we got out of it, really, it truly is a miracle how they pull this off. They do it. I was out that same day. And I can't tell you what a beautiful feeling that is when you really, when you pray and you say you're thankful. You're thankful that it's a beautiful life, that you have this opportunity, that you could do something like this. You've got a new hip inside of you, right? So that was how I spent Holy Week away. But I'll tell you what I did do is I tuned in to wherever I could via the internet. And so now listen to this. I think many of you Next Steppers will really appreciate this. You know that our ministry for the many years is about this virtual environment, about connecting via the net. And we've done this now for about 20 years, since the first broadcast that we did of a Divine Liturgy was in the year 2000. And that's when we adopted the name Apostle.net. It was the Holy Divine Liturgy. It was celebrated on April 23rd that year, the year 2000. And we broadcast it. It was the first electronic broadcast. And I remember a dear friend of ours, Seta, she came the following week, was it, or the day, a few days afterwards. And she couldn't thank us enough because her father had never missed an Easter service. Had never. But that year, because of his physical and his physical health, he was unable to go to church. So she said he came to her computer that morning, dressed up completely in a suit and tie, shaven, combed hair. He had heard that we were going to broadcast, came to the computer and sat down and listened to the entire Divine Liturgy with the sermon with tears in his eyes. And you know, that to me is one of those stories that I always remember. That's another one of those miracles. And here I was in 2023 on the receiving end of that blessing. Yeah, we've been doing it all these years, but I never realized what an impact it has on people until I felt it myself. I wanted to be at the church. And you know, I came close to sneaking out of my house. Yeah, don't tell anybody. But I did. I was very close to sneaking out, especially on Holy Thursday. My grandkids were going to get their feet washed, and Grandpa wasn't the one who was going to do the feet washing. Somebody else. But fortunately, it was a dear friend, Father Yeremia, who I just admire so much, a young priest of the Armenian Church from Etchmiadzin. And I'm very thankful that he was the one who washed their feet. And for those of you who think, like, what is this we're washing? I mean, let me just explain real quickly. We reenact the feet washing that is explained in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Yes, for all of you that say the Armenian Church, there's no Bible. No, not only is there a Bible, but we live out the Bible. We actually have the priests, and from the Catholicos down to the most humble priest, will kneel down and wash the feet of the children, of the people. And I think you're going to love the story that comes out of Bishop Daniel in a little bit, because you'll realize that it's not about those little kids. It's about people and people who are hurting. So I really tried to stay in place. I was going to sneak out of the house. I did not. I was a good boy, and I really appreciated the opportunity to watch, to hear, to fill up my life with these beautiful hymns, prayers, and messages throughout the week, all the way to Easter. Got my bandages off on Easter Sunday, and the nurse that came to my house to do it, I talked with him, and I said, if you wouldn't mind, it's Easter, and I said, I can't ask you anything else, because obviously they have time schedules. I said, if you wouldn't mind, could you come just a little bit early, because I'd like to be at Easter services. And he was kind of like surprised. I said, I'm talking about on the net. And he came like around 9:15. He had me unbandaged, checked out, doing my routine. And by the time he left, I turned it on, and I had just missed the first part of the Divine Liturgy. They were beginning to read the Gospel. So I had the Easter experience from a distance. And again, I think having that experience gave me another booster shot, so to speak, a booster shot of how important epostle.net is going to be, if it isn't already. The opportunity for people to connect, the opportunity for people to share their faith and to explore their faith virtually. This, of course, led to some other big projects that we're going to be doing in Armenia. And those things I'm going to share with you in the months to come. We are working on going out to Armenia and connecting with some of the vortexes, the places where this energy is so incredible. And that's coming up probably in June. So stand by for that. Okay, that's my preliminary. And like I said, when we come back after the break, I'm going to have an archived version of Bishop Daniel's Easter homily that he gave on Giragi on epostle.net. Now, we play a song of the day every week. And I guess they are cramping down. Believe it or not, for 15 years we've been doing this. We've been doing this. And now they are cramping down on us. And they're saying that, hey, wait a minute. You know, what about copyrights and everything? Hey, I'm not selling anything, am I? I'm not selling your song. I'm just saying, this is a song that I like. Yeah, so anyway, I'm going to play it anyway. But sometimes I wonder about all this. Like, I understand that everybody needs to be Everybody needs to get their fair share out of it. But it's not like I'm stealing anything. At the end of the day, I'm telling you who the artist is. At the end of the day, I put a link on the show notes so you can go and explore that artist. And you can go and pick up a copy of their album. If there is such a thing now. I guess it's all virtual. So right? You can't do that album. Actually, Jethro Tull's coming out with a new album on the 21st. And I've ordered the CD. It's an actual physical copy of it. Physical copy. But these days, I think you just... I don't know how you give away music. Like, I used to love to give people music. You know, I'd give them an album back in the old days. Then CDs or cassettes and everything. Now, how do you give it? On a stick? Not really. That's not practical. You send it to them in the cloud. But what do they have? They have, like, nothing. Except the music, which isn't too bad, right? Anyway, I hope you know where I'm at. We're going to do the song of the day right now, and then we'll come back for the second portion. Well, I don't think we will run into any copyright problems with that one. That is a Sharagan. It is an ancient Sharagan. It's in the public domain, yes. That is called Kovia Yerusalem, and that is being celebrated, literally, you heard the fanfare, it is being celebrated by the Western Diocese. It's on a double CD that came out several years ago, and it's just like, God, this over-the-top musical expression, right? Yeah, I think you felt it right there. But the reason why I wanted to play this particular version today is because on the Giragi show that we had for Easter, this was the Sharagan, the hymn that I had planned for it. And it was queued up, everything was ready, and we actually played it. Later when we went and we looked at the video, it had not recorded. So people who watched did not get a chance to hear this. We had coordinated it with many, with different graphics, including pictures of churches and icons depicting the resurrection of Jesus. Govia Yerusalem means praise to Jerusalem. Today, Christ has risen. Hariavi Merelots. And it is, to me, it is really the expression of the Christian church. And I made a very big point in 2015 on the 100th anniversary when we had moved over from remembering the martyrs as victims over to victors. And in that one, I was very fortunate. I'm always very humbled and honored by these occasions. But I did the last Tokyankist, the last requiem for the martyrs of 1915. Because after that, I believe it was April 19th, it was the Sunday, and when you figure that we're in the last time zone on Earth, on that day was the last time that these martyrs would be remembered as victims. And so I celebrated the Divine Liturgy that day, and it was at the St. Leon Reventians at the cathedral that day. And there in my sermon, I mentioned that it's now time that we start adopting Kovia Jerusalem, as opposed to Iverin Jerusalem. It was a play on the words, because Iverin Jerusalem is the hymn of the Requiem, while Kovia Jerusalem is the hymn of resurrection. And it's that mindset that we need to get over, that if we are going to celebrate them as victors in Christ, then it's the resurrection we've got to point to. It's enough of this mourning. We really are much better off than we are. In fact, if I remember, I'm going to put a link on today's show notes. It's kind of interesting, you know, the way I approached it. If you're interested, you can have a chance to listen to it. Okay. Anyway, Kovia Jerusalem, and it's very important that we greet one another. Kovia Jerusalem by saying, Christos Hariav Imerelots. Christ has risen from the dead. So at the beginning of Lent, we started a program called Giragi, Some of Sunday. That's a play on the word, of course, Sunday. And it has a unique logo to it, too, if you get a chance to check it out. But every Sunday, we had a guest homilist. And of course, on Easter Sunday, we were very, very honored to have His Grace, Bishop Daniel Findikian, who many of you know, many of you have followed him. He was a guest a few times on The Next Step, and he is just such a remarkable person because he has that drive and that energy to move forward. Our Archbishop Hovnan Derderian, the primate of our Western Diocese, officially invited him to give the homily on that day, and we were very honored to hear it from Holy Etchmiadzin, from the source of light. Like, that's where Jesus Christ descended. We Armenians, we have this place where Jesus Christ descended. And Bishop Daniel happened to be there. He's actually there at the Vehapar, at the Catholicos request. And he's got an office, he says, that he gets to open the window and see Mount Ararat. Let me tell you something. That's probably one of the greatest, greatest office spaces. To me, that would be the best real estate on earth. In fact, I sometimes surprise myself. Check out the show notes, okay? The best real estate on earth, okay? You'll get a kick out of what you see. All right. Bishop Daniel Findikian, on Easter Sunday, he got together with us and he offered us this homily. I'm presenting it here for a couple of reasons, for your edification so you hear it. Secondly, like I said earlier, so it gets archived and it becomes part of our archives that we're building here. Bishop Daniel Findikian, I invited him to speak, and you know, there was a lot of ways that I could have introduced him with all of his titles and all of the things that he did. I chose to introduce him that day as a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Here's Bishop Daniel.
Thank you truly for inviting me to be with you all the way from Etchmiadzin. If you could see behind me, it's 3:30 in the morning, about 4 in the morning now here, Monday morning. And if it were bright right behind me, you could see the dome of Etchmiadzin. So I'm really right in the heart of things, and I'm grateful to you for inviting me to be here with you and with your group. And I'm always appreciative of Hovnan Sirpazan, who's been really an older brother to me for decades. And he's been a gracious friend and role model for me in many ways. Well, I wanted to share some thoughts and some things that I've experienced here in Etchmiadzin over the last week, this holy week that leads up to Easter. Things that I've been thinking about and that came to my mind when Der Vasken asked me to share a message with you on this now, this Easter season that's upon us. Last time I lived in Etchmiadzin was 33 years ago, an interesting number. When I was a student, I was a deacon and very tentative and really didn't know the language too well. And of course, I've been back probably dozens of times in the intervening years. But now I'm settled here again for some time. And now I come as a bishop. And so it's a very different experience. I come to an independent Armenia, which is teetering a little bit, but it is our homeland and it's sacred ground. And so this is the first time in 33 years that I've been back to experience Holy Week and Easter. And so I wanted to share a couple of observations that I had this week. The first one comes from this past Tuesday. For us in the Armenian Church, the Tuesday before Easter is we celebrate the normal services that you would in a monastery, morning and evening service. And during the evening service, we recall in a very special way a little anecdote that Jesus shares in the Gospels. It's actually, if you want to look it up later, it's in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, where he tells a story about it's not exactly a parable, but it's a story that he sort of made up about 12 maidens, 10 maidens that go out to meet the bride and the bridegroom. He emphasizes the bridegroom to kind of focus the real meaning here on Jesus. And five of the maidens bring their lamps lit, ready to go. And in those days, there were no streetlights. If you didn't have lights late at night, you were blind. You were literally blind. You could fall over into a ditch. There was no light and experience we really don't know much about anymore in our lives. But that was the story. Those were the times. And he invites 10 of them. The bridegroom invites 10 of them. Five of them show up with their lamps lit, and five of them didn't come prepared. And so they have no light. And so when the bridegroom comes out, five of the maidens had no way to get there to be a part of the celebration. And when they finally show up, they're in the dark, and they say, well, to the five maidens, the wise maidens that had oil, they said, oh, share with us some of your oil so that we can share in the festivities. And they said, well, no. And Jesus, rebukes them. And he says, if you couldn't be prepared to greet me, then I really have no use for you. And he says, watch, be very careful, because you don't know the day or the time when that is a reminder for us that we need to be ready. We need to be sort of working and ready ourselves, because the great bridegroom, who is Jesus, of course, is coming one day, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe in 1,000 years. We don't know. But that's a recurring theme, is that Jesus is coming, and that will be sort of the end of history. That will be the end of time and the beginning of all eternity. And we need to be ready for that. We need to be preparing ourselves for that. We can't just sit back and be living our normal lives. So a bit of a haunting story. In any case, that's the background. And in the tradition of the Armenian Church, what they do is oftentimes in the parishes, if you go to church that evening, there's always a church service. There will be 10 young girls oftentimes standing there, and they'll have candles in their hands, and five of the maidens will have lit candles, and five will have just darkened candles. And that's all there is to it. There's a hymn that's sung in the background, and it sort of recalls this whole story. So I was kind of curious to see, what will you do in Etchmiadzin? We're a monastery, after all. Are they going to bring five young girls in? And I thought that would be really cool. They didn't. And turns out that Tuesday evening, I was the bishop presiding. There weren't any other bishops present. So I was the one that sort of presiding over the service. So when I got to church on Tuesday evening, I saw that there were these 10 young men, teenagers, really. And wasn't until I sort of got settled that I realized that these maidens, stand-ins for the maidens, were soldiers from the Armenian army. And that explained why they all had their hair shorn. And there were a bunch of other soldiers there in full uniform, which is, you know, khakis, right? And the ones that were participating had shabigs on, shabigs, like vestments, on over their fatigues. And it struck me, a couple of things struck me. I went up and talked to them a little bit before the service, wanted to make sure they knew the story, and they did. They did know the story. But in the middle of the service, I got really emotional. Number one, because these are boys. They're boys. Some of them weren't shaving yet. They looked young. One of the reasons for that, as I found out later, is that in Armenia, the draft starts at age 17, not 18. Why 17? Because there's not enough 18-year-olds left. So that shook me to the core. And the other thing that shook me was their expression, the expressions on their faces. All this is coming at me all at once, so I didn't really know what to expect, but I thought, well, maybe they'd be kind of excited for being in church. Maybe they'd be, smiling. No, they were all kind of, their expressions were empty. It was very haunting. It was very haunting, very kind of empty. It was kind of like a blank stare on their faces. And even when I went up to talk with them, I wanted to sort of get to know them. I wanted them to be relaxed in front of a bishop and in this sort of very holy environment. Throughout the whole service, very blank stare. And I don't know if I was surprised by that. I don't know what I expected, but that caught me off guard. So that was a huge, very important experience for me this week. The other one was just yesterday morning, which was Sunday morning, Sunday Easter morning. And I, along with, 30 other priests and bishops and deacons, about 20 deacons, we all went over to the big cathedral. It's this massive monumental cathedral of St. Gregory, probably the largest Armenian church in the world now. It's in the middle of Yerevan. And that's where the Catholicos celebrated the Easter liturgy. And I'm telling you, monumental. There were easily over 1,000 people and I don't know if there's room to spare. The place was packed, but that gives you a sense of the size of this cathedral. And there was this huge entrance procession. And then at the end of the Badarak, a huge exit procession. And so you can imagine two lines of deacons and candle holders and, you know, censers, the Purvaragirs. And then all the bishops lined up in our vestments, and the Catholicos there at the very back of the procession with his hand cross and the censer, and he's actually with his staff, and the entrance procession, and again the exit procession took easily 20 minutes. Number one, because of the size of the space, but also because this was not a procession as you would imagine. We couldn't make. It wasn't like organized step by step by step. The Catholicos would take a step and then stop. And then the people would sort of bow their heads in front of him. They wanted him to place their hands on their heads. They wanted to kiss his cross. They were kissing his vestments. And not just the Catholicos, but all of us in front of him, especially us bishops who have, in our fineries, our vestments. So I was in the middle of all this. And you have these, of course, the Maidigs, you know, the old faithful, devout women with, you know, their heads covered, and they would bow their heads in front of me, and they expect me to put my hand on their head and say a blessing and say, God bless you. Asfaz Bahaban, Asfaz Ornekes, God bless you. And not just the old Maidigs. We see some of them in our churches in L.A. and New York where I've been. There's not a lot of them left, but they're there. But also little kids, teenagers, teenage boys, teenage girls, dressed as well as they can be dressed considering the circumstances here. Little kids, you know, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 5-year-old, 6-year-old little kids on both sides. And they're kissing my vestments. They're grabbing my hand. They're looking for something. And for 20, 30 minutes of this on the way in and 20 or 30 minutes on the way out. And not just me, the other bishops, and then the Catholicos behind me. I'm looking into the eyes of these women. I'm saying, Christos Hariavi Medelos, and they're answering me. You know, how many of our 15-year-old boys and girls would know how to answer that, you know, hours when I say that in the U.S.? It just impressed me deeply. I'm looking at these people. I'm like, there's something there. They know something. They feel something that I have felt in my life, but I don't feel all the time. And frankly, didn't necessarily feel it even on Easter Sunday. Some kind of an inspiration, some kind of a sense that, you know, yeah, actually Christ is risen from the dead, this incredible miracle that we celebrate. They weren't just saying it because they believe it. They were saying it because they know it. I don't know in what words they would have put that mystery if I had stopped to talk with them. But they knew something profoundly mysterious and real. We got back to Etchmiadzin, and they had buses for us to bring us back, the clergy. And my recollection from 33 years ago was that generally the Catholicos hosts us for this huge banquet. And that didn't happen. I asked why. They said, well, no, it's a little bit too close to the tragedies of the last few years, the 44-day war, and also just a few weeks ago when things flared a little bit again, and there were, you know, I didn't know this, but there were 100 or so losses from that too. By the way, going back to Tuesday, I'm looking at these soldiers up there, and I was thinking to myself, yes, some of you guys are not going to be here a year from now. We know that. You know that. Tonight, tomorrow, you could get called to Artsakh. You could get called to the border towns to defend our country. And maybe their blank expression was an acknowledgement of that. Here I am in this holy place, and I don't know where life is taking me in the next year. 5,000 of these little boys, right, were sacrificed a couple of years ago. Maybe that was a reason. So why do I tell you all these stories? Some of them good, some of them a little bit haunting, some of them very inspiring in good ways. Those mighties, those young people kissing my vestments because they know the truth of the gospel, and some of them just not so pleasant. But the resurrection of Jesus, Easter, takes place year after year in the midst of all of that. And I can't tell you that this week I had this heavenly dancing with the angels experience that I wanted, that I have had some Easters in my life. This year, it didn't come. It didn't happen that way. There was a celebration. There was some happiness. There was also a mixture of feelings. And I want to read to you a passage from St. Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians, just a couple of lines. St. Paul says to this little, we would call it a church parish that he established. He says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. St. Paul is very, very, very dense with his words. I'm going to read it one more time. It's short. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. So death and death in Jesus, life in Jesus. That's the story of Holy Week. And that's the story of Easter. It's a story of life and joy and excitement and inspiration and you know, driving us ahead to find the great things in life and to look forward to even greater things beyond this life. But it's also the story of death. And that death and that life are mixed together in a very mysterious way. They're not in neat categories, you know, Friday, Good Fridays, the crucifixion, that's the day of tears and sadness. And then Sunday, the third day, that's the day of happiness. That may be how it is in Sunday school for kids. That's what they taught us in Sunday school. The real world is not like that. And the real gospel, right? Our real Christian faith, certainly in the Armenian church, is not that way either. And when I was thinking about this, I realized, you know, think about the gospel story that Ruzana just read a couple minutes ago. When you look in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, when you dig into St. Paul's letters in the New Testament, but especially those firsthand accounts in the gospels, the first Easter, right? The day when the women and the apostles found Jesus, right? Risen from the dead. We don't find that great grand celebration, that banquet that I was looking for, you know, after church on Sunday. You don't find it. It's not there. That was not the emotion of the women at the tomb. Susanna read from the gospel. They were alarmed. That's the word. They were alarmed. They weren't rejoicing and dancing with the angels. That came. That was there, but it wasn't that first moment. The apostles, let's be honest, Peter ran away. They fled from the tomb. They didn't know what to think. They were terrified, I think. They didn't know what to think at that point. Later on, they would celebrate. And they certainly did. And they went out and spread that message. But when you read those accounts in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it is this kind of strange feeling of awe, of a blank stare, like those young boys in their uniforms. Of an emptiness, of fear, of really not knowing what to think. And that resonates with me at my age. I remember my younger days, those moments of complete angelic euphoria. As life goes on and we get a little bit more wise and savvy as to the ways of this strange world, God, I hope all of you have had that experience in your Christian lives as you struggle to make sense of our Christian faith that's been handed over to us. I hope maybe today for you was you had glimpses of that. In my experience, it's glimpses of that euphoria, of that true joy of the gospel, which is real. It's real, but it's very much mixed in. It's in my experience, it's much more about affliction, being perplexed. Being persecuted. Let's be honest. Our world is not a Christian world. In Armenia, there's something there that we don't have anymore. I don't think in Los Angeles and New York where I've lived. But there it is. And to all of that, we Armenians, you know, we shout Christos Haryabimerelos. Christ is risen from the dead, and we say that with joy. And it's true. And it's a message of life. And it's a message of life today here on Easter Monday in Etchmiadzin and for you on Easter Sunday evening. But the reality is a lot deeper. And we got to look deeper. If we're reading the scriptures, we got to go beyond the level of just the words as they come off us on the page. We got to dig deeper. As Armenians, you know, we got to be thinking deeper because the depth of that joy and faith is there. It's a mystery. And so I guess my message for you is don't be afraid to dig deep. Don't be afraid that things don't always make sense, whether you're praying, you're trying to pray, whether you're reading the Gospels or you haven't been doing that as much as you'd like to. You're listening to Der Vasken and all that he's got on the table. One of the things that I've learned in my many years of friendship with Der Vasken is he's one of those guys that's not afraid to make me tremble at times. And to just when I think I've figured everything out, so he'll throw a curveball and I'll be like, well, I thought I had things figured out and I thought I was ready to go out and preach my next sermon. And now you messed everything up for me because I'm not sure what to make about all this. And you know what? That's the way it's supposed to be, because that's the way that we grow. That's the way that we grow in faith. The minute you think that everything's figured out in your Christian faith and your prayer life and your feelings about being a Christian or trying to be a Christian, just when you're ready to throw it all away, or just when you think you figured it all out, you're not there. You're on the way, and all of us are on the way. And Easter Sunday is a key point in that path. And it is the end point, but it's just the beginning too. So I want to offer you that message for all of us that are on this path of trying to make sense of all this. God bless you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his grace during this Easter time and the grace of his resurrection, the love of God and the communion, that magnetic bond of the Holy Spirit that brings us together. May you all be blessed by all of that during these days of Easter and at all times. God bless you all.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazquez, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. The Next Step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Okay, that brings us to the end of another Next Step episode. I hope you enjoyed it today. I want to invite you to epostle.net, where you'll find all kinds of things. And especially right now, we have a new series going on. It's called It Was 20 Years Ago Today, to talk about the miracle that took place in Glendale. I think you will enjoy it. It's a series about hope. It's about a series of what the Armenian Church can do in this world today when it focuses on the vision, focuses on Christ as the center of our church. I hope you enjoy it. I'd love to hear from you, not only about that, but everything that we do. There's an easy way to drop us a line. First of all, you could leave it in the comments, but I know many of you are shy about leaving comments, unless it's anonymous, which is fine. Drop me a line. You can do that at feedback@epostle.net. Hey, listen, I'm going to really try. This is unacceptable to me that we are three times delinquent this year, and it's only April. We're gonna do it, okay? So I look forward to seeing you again next week. On behalf of Susie, my producer, and myself, this is Father Vazquez inviting you to join us again when we will take the next step.
Stand by for disclaimer.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the Next Step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the Next Step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
I forgot to ask you if you're seeing the same sky as we are. Bye.